All right, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, for the 42nd week in a row. I think we have probably three more lessons in Ephesians and we'll be done. Three more lessons. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. So we are still in the armor of God. And specifically this morning, we're talking about the helmet of salvation. Ephesians 6, 17. All right. Everybody got it? Everybody there? We ready? Ephesians 6, 17. All right, the Bible says, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. All right, that's what we'll talk about this morning. The helmet of salvation. But let's pray first, and then we'll talk about it. Father, thank you for this time together, this opportunity to be together as a congregation, and opportunity to open up your words together, pray together, learn together, and I pray that you'd teach us your words. I pray that you'd meet the needs of folks here. There's many different needs here represented by different people, and Lord, I pray that you'd feed your flock and you would nourish us the way we need to be nourished. You'd help me, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit to say what you once said, and Lord, we could go to some scriptures, cross references, things like that would help open our eyes to things you want us to know and understand. And then for the teachers in the back, Father, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister your words to the kids and help these words apply to their lives and help them understand how these words apply to their lives. And not just that they're your words and, you know, okay, we come to church and hear your words, but Lord, that your words are applicable to everyday life and are practical and are needful in everyday life. And Lord, thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for these words. And I thank you for each soul that's here this morning. And pray for those that have been invited, that you'd bring them. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the helmet of salvation. So you get saved, and I guess most of you guys are saved here. I assume that. And you get saved, it doesn't mean this helmet is not obviously physical. It's not going to protect you from head injuries or anything like that. Just because you're saved, you can still get a head injury. This is a helmet that is a spiritual weapon, a spiritual defense. And it's something that keeps your mind right. It keeps your mind, it protects your mind from thoughts. You know, I'll show you several thoughts here in the Bible. But there is something about, you know, something about understanding that one day you will live in a new body. One day you will be away from sin. One day you won't have to deal with the evils and the sin and the iniquity and the transgressions and the dirt of the world. And that thought alone of the resurrection of a saint, of you personally, that thought alone is a defense against a multitude of other thoughts. It's a defense against uncontrollable grief. I mean, if you know what you're looking forward to, you have a hope, that'll prevent you from going into, I mean, it's a thought, it's a defense against inconsolable grief. I mean, if you guys have probably been to funerals, maybe not of unsaved people, but there were people who were unsaved at the funeral. And there's no hope, there's nothing to look forward to, it's just we've lost this person, I'll never see him again. Well, that's not a necessary thought, Because you can see your loved ones again if they're saved, if you're saved. But people who aren't saved, who don't have that thought of the resurrection, there's no hope. So there's no way to console that grief. There's no consoling factor there. So this is the idea. The mind is a battlefield, and the devil will occupy that battlefield if he can. He wants to occupy it. So I want to show you several thoughts in the Bible that salvation, the helmet of salvation, will prevent or will guard against. Because that's the way he describes salvation, as a helmet that protects against thoughts. It really protects against thoughts. And so I'm going to start here. Let's start here. Let's look back in, or look forward in, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Thessalonians 5, 8. Just to see the helmet again and how it's more particularly described here. Not only the helmet of salvation, but the helmet, the hope of salvation. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5, 8. All right, so he says this, 1 Thessalonians 5, 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. All right, so not a physical helmet, a spiritual helmet that protects you against thoughts that would ruin your attitude, would ruin your decision making. This thing protects against that, all right? And the helmet itself is the understanding that the promise of redemption, of a new body, of a certain future in heaven, a certain future, new heaven, new earth without sin, without trouble, without any of those things, that understanding and that hope will guard you, all right? You're in 1 Thessalonians. Now I want to show you some thoughts that this helmet will guard against. Since you're in 1 Thessalonians, just look back one chapter and look in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. The first thought that the helmet of salvation guards against, it'll guard your mind from overwhelming sorrow. Overwhelming sorrow. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no, what? Hope. So the helmet of salvation guards against overwhelming sorrow. Now we'll just pick some of this stuff apart. First thing he says, I know we've preached on this before, but he said, I wouldn't have you ignorant. So that this is something you don't have to be ignorant of. People choose to be ignorant of it. If you don't want to believe what God said about resurrection, about salvation, then you choose to be ignorant of what God said of it. And the consolation there is not there. I mean, if you don't have God's information on it, God's revelation on it, then you don't have the same hope that he's offering to you. All right, so God wants you to know what's happening, what happens after the death of the body. You know, if you've lost someone who's saved. All right, we use the term, we lost them. You know, we've buried them, we've lost them. The reality is, if someone's died that's saved, you haven't lost them at all. You know exactly where they are. They're not gone. They're not in a place where you can't find them. The reality is, you know exactly where they're at. If you're saved and you accept the words of God and they're saved, and you know exactly where they're at. That thought is a consolation. That is a consolation against overwhelming grief of someone who feels like they're separated forever from a loved one. All right, you got an unsaved person, burying an unsaved person. There's no hope. There's no consolation. There's just a cross your fingers, and I have no idea what happens. There's no hope. There's just hopelessness. But the helmet of salvation prevents that overwhelming grief, because you haven't lost anyone. You know exactly where they're at. You know exactly where you're going. All right, so, and God said, he said, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant. There's the certainty of the comfort. He says, by the word of God. You just go down to verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So there's the promise. For this we say unto you, by the word of God, there's the certainty that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So there's certainty of the comfort by the word of the Lord. There's the comfort of being caught away, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. There's the comfort of being caught away. You know, and when you get caught away, you get caught away. You don't get caught away with cancer. You don't bring that with you. You don't get caught away with pain. You don't get caught away with sorrow. You don't get caught away with a broken heart. You don't get caught away with a cursed body. And if you think about those things, and if you accept those things in the Bible, that will prevent, I mean, that will at least guard against some overwhelming grief from people who have no hope. Now you can, I say people who have no hope, people can have hope if they choose to believe what God told them. If they don't want to believe what God told them, there's no other source of hope. There's no other offering of hope. So here's the thing. I mean, it's a guard, the helmet of salvation. It'll guard your mind from overwhelming sorrow. Look at the very last verse in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18. He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort. I know sometimes we try to console each other with some things down here as best we can. We don't know what to say. Well, it'll get better, or I mean, really, you don't know if it's going to get better. You hope it gets better, but in the end, you know it's not going to get better. Yeah, but you hope for the time being it gets better, just so you don't have to deal with the end of the thing. But he says, comfort one another with these words. If I know in this life it won't get better, I know also in the next life it's completely better. Everything's changed. Everything's better. All right, so the first thing, the helmet of salvation, it will guard your mind from overwhelming sorrow. So the helmet of salvation meets sorrow with the absolute assurance of a future hope, and sorrow doesn't really stand a chance against that. Okay, so that's one thought. Here's another thought that gets in the mind, or can get in the mind. It'll guard your mind from quitting on God. All right, you can serve the Lord and maybe for a while not find any results in serving the Lord. You may dedicate some part of your life to the Lord and find that the part of your life you dedicated to the Lord nobody cared about, and it didn't get recognized, or whatever, you know, it didn't pan out the way you thought it was going to pan out. All right, go back to 1 Corinthians. I'll show you something. More importantly, when you start serving God, you're going to face adversity that you didn't face before. You'll face things that you didn't face before. And eventually, you'll come to the question of why am I doing this? And that'll be the reality of the thing. You wonder, is this accomplishing anything? All right, 1 Corinthians 15. The second thought that the helmet of salvation guards against, it's the thought of quitting on God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 30. Here's Paul talking to the Corinthians. And he says this. He says, why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Like, why am I putting my life in danger? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. You know what that is? That's, I quit. why do I need to keep going serving God with all this trouble that comes along with doing it? So without the hope of the resurrection, without the helmet of salvation, that thought of quitting on God is a valid thought. Why are we doing this? What is the point of this? Where does this lead to? However, then he goes on to say, look in verse 54, same chapter. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, now here's the thing. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All right, you see, it's the thought, it's the helmet of salvation prevents you from the thoughts that say, why are we doing this? Let's just go ahead and quit. Why do we put so much effort, or why do we feel like we put so much effort into something that doesn't seem like it's making much progress? And Paul said, look, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. So, helmet of salvation prevents you from overwhelming grief, and it'll prevent you from that thought, or not prevent the thought from being there, but it'll prevent you from taking hold on that thought of saying, let's just quit this thing. There doesn't seem to be any point to it. Paul said, why do I live my life in jeopardy serving God if there's no light at the end of the tunnel? I mean, if I'm going to die in jail preaching, and then there's no hope, I'm just going to be buried. What am I doing with my life? What I'm doing with my life is not necessarily for this life, it's for a future, it's for a hope. All right, so to guard your mind from quitting on God, here, I'll give it to you one more time here. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. All right, 2 Timothy 1:8 says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause, here's the key thing, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So the helmet of salvation is a guard against quitting on God. Okay? Third thought. Here's a third thought. The helmet of salvation will guard your mind from becoming too attracted to this world. All right, if you understand that in the future, God will one day remake heaven and earth, and this world is a temporary thing, and you understand that, then it should, in your mind, keep you and I from becoming too attracted from this thing that doesn't last very long. Okay? Look in Hebrews chapter 10. See this thought. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34. Hebrews 10:34. So the helmet of salvation will guard your mind from becoming too attracted to this world. Well, like Paul said, if this world is all there is, then we just eat, drink, be merry, tomorrow we die. We need to suck all the we can out of it. But if this is temporary, and this is actually the shortest time we'll spend anywhere in our lives, then there's more to this thing than just let's suck all the what we can out of this world. All right, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. It'll guard your mind from becoming too attracted to this world. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and watch this, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Boy, we're not there yet. I'm not there yet. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an everlasting substance. Wow. Enduring, what did I say? Enduring, everlasting, sorry. Having in heaven a better and an enduring substance. All right, so they accepted the temporary loss of things, understanding that in the future there wouldn't be any more loss, an enduring substance, okay? So the helmet of salvation will guard your mind from becoming too attracted to this world. We'll get it one more time in 1 Peter chapter 1. See it again here. 1 Peter 1:13. First Peter 1:13. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So salvation was meant to change the perspective of somebody. That I don't need to keep living according to the lust of the flesh now. The flesh makes these demands on me, and I think I have to satisfy them, but the reality is I don't. Reality is I don't have to live according to that voice. There's more at stake here. So he says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, and all that. So the helmet of salvation will guard your mind from becoming too attracted to this world. Fourth thing, I got a couple more here. The helmet of salvation will guard your mind from distractions from your purpose. All right. Let's see. I got a couple verses. Look in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. Philippians 1:20. All right, so the helmet of salvation will give clarity to what you're supposed to be doing. Help you make some decisions that you ought to make, and guard against double-mindedness, people getting distracted. Philippians 1:20. All right, he says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Wow. So the purpose has never changed. Christ will be glorified, life or death. We were talking about this with the men's group. Have you ever heard somebody say, maybe after they got out of the hospital and they got through a surgery, and they said, well, you know, I made it through. I guess God just has a purpose for my life. I mean, I've heard that multiple times, like, you know, well, God just has a purpose for me, as though that's why you got through. Well, the point is, he had a purpose before you got through. He had a purpose when you went to the hospital. He had a purpose for you before you ever went to the hospital. And he has a purpose for you when you get out. The purpose is right there. He said, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. That's the purpose. That Christ would be magnified, whether life or death. Okay? That's a perspective only a person that's saved can have. Right, verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. That, you know, you cannot put a Christian with that perspective in a box. That is total victory. That is, it doesn't matter whether I'm alive or whether I'm dead. You can't box them up. It's victory on this side and it's victory on this side. There's no way I lose. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Where's the loss in that? Now that thought, that perspective is a perspective that a saved person has or can have. The helmet of salvation. If you have that understanding that, look, whether I live or die, it's victory. That'll help you. That'll help you in your life. Look in verse 22. He said, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Yeah, there's Paul. I'd just rather die. Meaning, I'd rather just drop this body. I don't want to live in this body anymore. Nevertheless, verse 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. All right, so the Lord wants me to be here because it's a help to you as a church for me to be here. But if it was up to me, I would just go. All right, so it'll guard your mind from distractions. What I'm saying in all of this is this. People get distracted. Christians get distracted. We all get distracted. We have thoughts that try to distract us. The devil, the world, the flesh, all that's a distraction and all that. And it keeps us away from thinking about our purpose, what we're supposed to be doing here. And the thought of salvation and hope and the future really clarifies, what am I really supposed to be doing here? I mean, what is the point of my life now? And so some of these verses should, I mean, they kind of clear it up. I'll show it to you one more time and look in 2 Timothy. Give it to you maybe a little more clearly here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 6. So the helmet of salvation will guard your mind, guard my mind from distractions in this life. Distractions really from our purpose. All right, 2 Timothy 4:6. Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So that's the perspective of a guy on death row. That's his perspective on life. His perspective is, when my life is this physical life I'm living now is coming to an end, and it's supposed to come to an end. And I finished my course, I've kept the faith, and now there's a reward waiting for me, which I'm looking forward to, and not only me only, but to anyone who's living the same life I'm living. And this is a guy on death row, getting ready to die, and this is his perspective, that this the temporary part of his life is about to be over, and that's a good thing. All right, it'll guard your mind, guard my mind from distractions from our purpose. Notice Paul's very focused on the purpose, and that's the thing that keeps his mind sound. All right, two more. Guard your mind. The helmet of salvation will guard your mind from certain fears. Certain fears, really unnecessary fears. Look over here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Second Thessalonians 2:1. All right, 2 Thessalonians 2:1 says this. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him," watch this, "that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter is from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." So he says, I beseech you by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that you don't have certain fears that you have right now. You don't need to be worrying about some of the things you're worrying about right now. They're telling the Thessalonians this. And salvation, the helmet of salvation, that thought, those thoughts there, are a guard against unnecessary fears. I mean, Paul said it in Timothy, I think. He said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind, all those things. All right, so it's a guard against unnecessary fears. I'm sure there's more places you could look to find these, but I'll give you one more here. The helmet of salvation will guard your mind from becoming cold toward other people. Here's a story. There's a pastor, and I can't remember if it's the one that I'm thinking of or another one. Doesn't really matter necessarily. But his wife got saved before he did. Pastor's wife got saved. He was still a drunk. He wasn't saved. He'd come home and, you know, do what he did. And she would pray for him, and she would be nice to him, and he would call her names, and he would, you know, make fun of her, belittle her, all that kind of stuff. But after she got saved, her whole attitude changed toward him. I remember hearing this statement. She said, "If my husband never gets saved, this is the best life he's going to ever have. And I want to make him at least feel comfortable in this life. Because this is all he's ever going to have. But the hope is that he does get saved." Well, in the future, I think this is who I think it is. But he eventually got saved from her, like Peter says, from her conversation, you know. The way she handled it, the way she dealt with things. But her thought was, you know what, if my husband never gets saved, this is the best life he has. He dies from this life and he goes straight to hell, and there's nothing good that comes out of that. And so she wanted to give him the best life he could possibly have, even though he was mean and he was brutal and he was belittling and all those things. Well, after he got saved, boy, it really had an effect. Her life had such an effect on him. And the point was, her salvation prevented her from growing cold toward her husband. She knew that in the end of this, he was going somewhere and she was going somewhere. And they weren't going to the same place. And so, what value did it have in her life to beat up on a man who was going to hell? What I'm saying is that helmet of salvation prevented her from growing cold to someone she could have grown very cold toward. Look over here in 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll show it to you. I'll give you two more verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Here's a couple verses that describe what I just told you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Having your conversation," now watch this, "having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." So a Christian, someone who has a hope, should be able to not react to things that are happening in this world in a way which the world would react to it. Why? Because this isn't all you're looking forward to. There's more to this. And so you don't have to respond in kind. You don't have to make sure vengeance is meted out. You don't have to make sure, I don't have to make sure things are made right now. Because there's coming a time when they will be made right. But I don't have to do that right now. And the helmet of salvation prevents me from becoming bitter towards people I would normally become bitter towards. All right? And so he says, "Having your conversation honest among Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the days of visitation." I'll show it to you one more time in Matthew chapter 5. This will be the last verse we look at. Like Stephen, yeah, absolutely. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12. "So the helmet of salvation will guard your mind from becoming cold towards others." Matthew 5:12. All right, I understand Jesus Christ is getting ready to send out the Jews that have come to listen to him. This is a Sermon on the Mount. He says this. He says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." All right, so the context is persecution. And he's saying, look, rejoice. The time's coming where the reward's coming. You don't have to make this stuff right now. Verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." All right. So the thought of becoming cold towards other people is a thought that puts the light out. That cynicism, that cynical mindset. David said one time in the Psalms, he said, "I said in my haste, all men are liars." Meaning, I got so tired of dealing with people. I got so tired of being lied to, I just threw my hands up. I said, "Everybody's a liar. Who can I trust?" And that cynical thought and that coldness towards people is a thought that will put the light out. It'll make the salt worthless. It's good for nothing. Why? If you're not a light to the world, if there's no saltiness, if there's nothing that you offer the world, that God can offer the world through you, what good is it anymore? So the helmet of salvation is a helmet that protects against the thought of growing cold towards others. Keep you from that. And so he says, let's see, where did I stop there? Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Notice he said before, "Great is your reward in heaven," there down in, I think he said, verse 12, "Great is your reward in heaven." So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, six or seven thoughts there. The point of all this, the those are some specific things that get into a Christian's mind. And then when those thoughts get in there, if there's nothing to counter those thoughts, they just derail a Christian. And they derail your life, they derail what the Lord wants to do with you. But he said, put on the helmet of salvation and it will keep you. It will prevent those thoughts from taking root where they don't need to take root. And it'll prevent those thoughts from becoming decision makers in your life. Things that guide and direct your decision-making process. All right, so the armor of God, that's the helmet of salvation. Like I said, it's not a physical helmet. Obviously, it's a spiritual thing, and it's a thing that keeps the mind the way it needs to keep the mind. Keeps your thoughts right. Prevents these thoughts from destroying a Christian's mind. So, that said, we've got a couple minutes. You guys got any questions?